Hallelujah. Everything else around you might be changing, but he's not. Amen. He's an unchangeable God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. I may believe God can work in behalf of that grandchild. Just stretch your hand toward him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we just declare that child the healer of the Lord and the chosen of the Lord in Jesus' name. Lord, there is nothing too difficult for you with God. All things are possible in Jesus' name. Right now, God, right now, the power of the Holy Spirit working on every area of that child's heart. Hallelujah, every area of that child's heart, that God, you'll raise him up to be a testimony and a witness, God, of your goodness and your mercy and your healing power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We call forth the anointing on that child and God, in Jesus' name, the calling and the purpose and the destiny in that life. Lord, we say that no sickness or no disease will stand in the way of the Almighty in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many are joy in the presence of the Lord this morning hallelujah. In the house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, he's just too good to us. Hallelujah, he's just too good to us. Hallelujah. How many are glad you have the favor of the Lord this morning? In case you didn't know that, you are highly favored this morning. You are chosen, purposed, destined. Hallelujah, the called of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I'm so just enjoying his presence this morning, a good anointing in the house this morning. I believe God's doing things. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah, I believe God's doing things. Hallelujah. I felt impressed just before we sit down. I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you're here today and you're having problems in the back area, I just pray right now in Jesus' name. Just lift your hands and receive. God, I receive your healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I speak healing to back areas right now, God. I declare every joint, every sinew, every muscle, every tissue, every ache and every pain right now. God, in the presence and the anointing of this house, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive it. Lord, we receive it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every disc, every cartilage, God, every tendon, every muscle, every nerve, God, right now in Jesus' name, I declare is the healed of the Lord. I declare it comes into agreement with what your word says, and your word says, by your stripes we're healed, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We receive, God, in Jesus' name, right here, right now, today, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we're walking out of here different. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe we're walking out of here different. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. I got a couple of different directions to go, so we'll just see how all this goes this morning. But the Lord laid on my heart a couple weeks ago, actually, about the word honor, what it means to honor. And I believe that as people, we need to be people of honor. Amen? Not just as Christians, as people, we need to be people of honor. How many know honor is something that's lacking sometimes amongst us? You know, there's sometimes I think that we act and react and we forget that we are a people of honor. And, you know, that and we forget sometimes, I think, the value of honor. How important it is to honor those who rule over you, those who have gone before you, those who have laid the path for you, those who have taught you, trained you, and all of those kind of things. How many know honor is important? Honor, somebody said honor is the platform for greatness. If you can learn how to honor, you will learn how to be honored. If you learn how to honor, you will learn how to be honored. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about honoring people. How many know we need to live a life that honors God? I mean, our actions need to honor God. Our speech needs to honor God. Our thoughts and our behavior needs to honor God. We need to honor God with our time. We need to honor God with our giving and our tithes and our offerings. We need to honor God with our serving and with all of the actions and the things that we do. How many know honor is important in our life? How many know we wouldn't have much of a military system if it was not demanded that we have honor? Amen? One thing you will learn in the military is honor. And you'll learn ranks, and you'll learn position. You may not always understand it. And let me say, you may not always agree with it. Yeah. Anytime you had to do a command, Jim, you didn't agree with, didn't matter, because the man over you made the call. Amen? Hallelujah. And I mean, you know, sometimes, even, you know, in whether it be on your job, nobody ever had a boss that they disagreed with in here, did they? Amen. Anybody ever had a parent you disagreed with? Hallelujah. All that list you had growing up said, man, when I get to be a parent, I'm not ever going to make my kids do this. I'm not ever going to do that or say that. And man, those things come out of your mouth and you go, where did that come from? I just sounded just like my mother when I said that, or sounded just like my dad when I did that. Or I mean, sometimes you got to honor your parents when you don't agree with their decisions. Sometimes you got to honor your boss when you don't agree with his position. But because he is the set man or she is the set man, how many know there is a place, there's a certain amount of honor that goes there. Hallelujah. And how many know sometimes you'll realize that when you get to be in that place, you understand a little bit more about why the calls might be called the way they've been called. Amen. Growing up, I didn't understand why my parents made some of the dumb decisions that they did. I got smarter, and they got smarter as I got older. Amazing. Amen. Things that I might have thought were dumb, they had more insight than I did. They had a little more experience than I did. They had a little more understanding about things than I did. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, no, they were responsible for my soul. They were responsible for my safety. Hallelujah. They were responsible to teach me the ways of the Lord. And thank God they did. I honor my parents today. I thank them. I honor them for giving me a godly heritage. Amen. And for the raising that I had. Hallelujah. And so one thing that I believe is important in the body of Christ and important in our life as people is to give honor and to live honorably. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we are challenged to live honorably. You know, sometimes we use the guise of guise or the, you know, the masking of grace and things like that to, you know, just be our own person and be our free will and all of those kind of things. And I believe in the unmerited, unearned favor of God. Amen. Hallelujah. But it doesn't cause me to be loose or free living. It causes me to be more honorable in the way that I live. It doesn't free me up to do things that I never wanted to do in the first place. Hallelujah. But it causes me to be more honored because of that love that we just sang about this morning. I'm telling you, you know, there's sometimes when I sing like that, I could just sing all day. When I sing that song, Lord, one thing always remains in my life. Regardless if finances change, regardless if circumstances change, jobs change, sickness, health changes, one thing remains in my life, and that is the unfailing love of a Father who loves me beyond measure, unfathomable, almost scandalous love, hallelujah, that the Father has for us. Hallelujah. And because of that, it causes me to be more honorable in my thoughts, my actions, and my deeds toward him. Amen. The more I fall in love with him, the more nothing else matters in my life but him. Hallelujah. So I would just want to talk a little bit about honor this morning. Go ahead and bring me up Proverbs this morning, Carlin. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. You know, Proverbs just has such good common sense stuff in it. If you just want to get a good dose of good common sense, just read the book of Proverbs. Hallelujah. They ought to put it in fortune cookies. It says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spend it up. How many know if you want to be more wise, hang out with wise folks? If you want to end up living your life in a foolish way, hang out with fools or foolish thinking, foolish ways. Next verse. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. Hallelujah. How many know honor comes with living in the righteousness and the mercy of God? Hallelujah. Next verse. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That's one you might want to put on your refrigerator. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. How many know the most wise and honorable thing sometimes is just not say anything? You can't say nothing good, just don't say anything. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes the bigger you talk, the more you talk about it, the bigger it gets? You ever tried to chew a piece of meat, and the more you chew on it, the bigger it gets? Till you finally realize this puppy ain't going down. You might as well just spit it out because it's just growing. It's not getting any better here. Hallelujah. Now, you know, sometimes the more we magnify a situation, the more we talk about it, the more we dwell on it, the bigger the situation or the problem can be sometimes. Hallelujah. So sometimes if we can control our mouth or control our lips, hallelujah, we could control a lot of the situations that get out of hand. Hallelujah. And you know, I was thinking, I was listening to a podcast yesterday on behalf of Sabrina because she'd been telling me to, and it was one of mine. But I was just remembering some of the things that I said. And you know, we talk about the power of life and death that's in our tongue. Do you believe that? Yes. That you have the power to speak life and death to yourself, to situations, and to people around you. The power of life and death is in your tongue. And I've said before, you cannot whine and praise at the same time. You cannot complain and praise at the same time. Hallelujah. And I was quoting a scripture to myself this week that Pastor Shirley just shared a week or so ago that said, Asaph said, I complained until my spirit was overwhelmed. Yep. Hallelujah. Anybody in the house that's ever complain until your spirit becomes overwhelmed. What complaining does is overwhelm your spirit, because what's happening is the words of your lips are more powerful or being magnified more than the spirit of God that's in you. Hallelujah. So you can't whine and speak in tongues at the same time. You can't praise God and complain at the same time. It's not possible. Yep. Amen. And so sometimes you got to pull yourself out of where you are. Hallelujah. And so we know the power of our words. Amen. How many know our words need to be honorable? And not just in situations where other people aren't being honorable. How many know dishonor on somebody else's part does not give you the right to be dishonorable? Amen. And so he gives us some commands in Scripture. To honor means to esteem or value or have great respect or to bestow value upon. Hallelujah. And God gives us some commandments in the scriptures that we should show or bestow honor. Give me 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. How many know the King deserves honor? God deserves your honor. I said this already. We honor him in many different ways. We honor him with our lips. We honor him with our praise. We honor him with our giving. We honor him with our time. We honor him with the life lived according to the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Oh, I forgot to take that all men part out of there before she put that scripture up there. Well, anyway, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. How many know that doesn't give us a right to even pick and choose? Honor all men. Hallelujah. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. How many know that's a commandment of the scriptures? That's what the word says. That's what God wrote. That's the anointed word of God. Ephesians 6 and 2. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. How many know the commandments of the scripture tells us to honor your father and mother? It was one of the Ten Commandments. It's the first of the Ten Commandments that came with a promise connected. Honor your father and mother, what? That your days may be long upon the land or upon the earth. Hallelujah. How many know it is as people we need to honor father and mother? Hallelujah. It's beneficial for them. It's beneficial for you. It's something that's commanded of God. Now, again, as I said, we're going to find out that not always people who showed honor in the scriptures agreed with the person they were honoring. Did not always go along with the person that they were having to honor, but because they were honorable, they did the honorable thing in honoring the position or the placement of the set man or the set person for the time or for the hour. And because they showed honor to others, they were honored. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, sometimes you have to show honor in positions that you may not necessarily respect or understand or agree with even the person in that place. Amen? Hallelujah. And it goes hand in hand with respect. But how many know honoring our father and mother? Best thing you can do growing up is honor your mother and father, because one of these days you may be one. Amen? You may be one. Hallelujah. And it'll serve you right. You know, my mom said, I hope when you grow up, you have kids just like you. You know, nobody ever said that, right? And that was to get back at you. That was not a compliment when they said that. You know, I hope you have kids just like you. Hallelujah. I mean, no, you don't always agree with their decisions. Any parent ever here ever made the wrong decision? Three of us did. I'm still making some wrong decisions. Amen? I'm still making some wrong decisions. Thank God that there's grace and mercy and forgiveness for that. Hallelujah. Dan was sharing with me this morning. He'd listened to a pastor on the TV the other morning before we come to church, and he said the pastor was preaching about, and he was sharing about how important it is to say, I'm sorry, or I was wrong to your children. Anybody ever had to apologize to your kids? I sure hope so. I hope so. There's been times that I said, you know what? I made the wrong call. I was wrong. I apologize. I misjudged you. I didn't understand the situation or whatever. I mean, one of the most freeing things and one of the most connecting and bonding things will be for them to see that you are vulnerable enough to make a mistake, but big enough to say, I made one and I'm sorry. I was not right in that. I was not honorable. I did not respect you in that. I was wrong. I dealt with you out of anger instead of out of correction or whatever it is. You know, we make mistakes. Amen? It's the one major purchase you make in your life that you don't get a handbook for. Nobody gives you a volume. You get a car, you get a book on how to operate it. You buy a house, you get some paperwork with it. You get a child, you just get the child. Now, there's manuals out there, but none of them agree on how you should do it. Amen? Amen? You read one book, and the next one will come back and say, no, that ain't right. You got to do it this way. And then you read the next one. I mean, no. Yeah, when I grew up, everybody laid their babies on their stomachs. You know, that case way, if you spit up, then, you know, the babies, you know, could spit up on the. Now they say, don't lay them on their stomachs, lay them on their back. You know, they got all. Everybody always changes the rules on having babies and raising children. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you made a mistake, it's okay. It's because they changed the rules on you. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. But the word and the scripture declares that we need to honor God, honor our parents. 1 Timothy 5:17-18 says that we need to honor our elders and our leadership, those who are governing over us. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. How many know we need to honor elders and leadership and those who rule over us? One of the biggest things that you understand in leadership is that you are held to a higher accountability. Amen? Whether that's fair or not, it is what it is. And you are held to a higher level of accountability. Now, how many know sometimes even in leadership and watching how they lead or how they rule, sometimes you may not understand everything that's going on in a scenario or in the background. And if you do, then the leadership probably hasn't handled it right. Oh, y'all just preached, just shouting house down this morning. Let me say that again. I mean, you know, sometimes just because you don't know everything that may have happened in a situation doesn't mean you know how it should be handled. And if you do know everything about it, then the leadership has not handled it correctly. Amen? How many know in the situation where Noah's nakedness was exposed, there were two sons that covered, but one exposed? How many know there is virtue and honor in saying, I'm not going to expose your nakedness to everybody else? Amen? I mean, you know, there's sometimes you just need to cover. That doesn't mean you hide it or you're excusing it. But how many know sometimes people need coverings? People need to be able to be vulnerable. People need to be able to come and say what's in their heart without feeling like you expose that to everybody. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so in leadership and things, you need to be honorable in how you handle things. How many know even just in simple things like being in the classroom, there's some things I can tell you about my classroom, but there's some things I can't tell you because I'm bound to an honor code that protects that child from being exposed for things that they don't need to be exposed for. Amen? Hallelujah. Many times I go home at night and just pray, Lord, intercede in this situation. Intercede on this behalf. Now, there are some things that I am obligated that I have to do. But how many know you don't want a teacher going out and telling everything about your child to everybody else? Amen? Your child should not be exposed on Facebook, or you should not be able to hear about them somewhere else. There should be a code of honor. Hallelujah. Whether it is in the school system, outside, or even in our house. I mean, no, sometimes there's some things that everybody doesn't need to know. Amen. That's honorable. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we honor God with our lips and our voice and the way that that we respond in situations. I mean, our first instinct usually isn't the most honorable. Amen. Sometimes our first instinct is hit you between the eyes and, you know, you're kind of like caught off guard. But how many know when we think about it for a little bit? And we allow God to speak through us and allow God to move on behalf. He always shows us the right way. Amen? And Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. How many know marriage is to be honored? It's honorable. Amen. When you make a covenant, when you are joined in together in holy matrimony, you are joined in covenant. Amen? How many know that's honorable? And we need to honor the position of marriage. And we also need to honor the person that we're married to. Amen? Hallelujah. And give them honor. Give them the level of respect. And esteem them to the place that they need to be in your life. Amen? How many know sometimes I think it would be good after you've been married for a little while to just start dating all over again? Thank you, Wilda. How many know sometimes you just got to be silly some days? Sometimes you just got to do something crazy within reason. Amen? Hallelujah. The other day, I was going down the road, and I was in one of those mornings where I just was overwhelmed. I had 100 things on my mind. I grab my things. I go out the door, and I'm going down the road, and I realize, oh, man, you know what? Dan said, what do you want for breakfast this morning, hon? And I said, I don't know. I said, how about French toast? I haven't had French toast forever. Could we have French toast? And he said, you want French toast? I'll make you French toast. And so he did. He makes my breakfast every morning. I'll honor him this morning. He's a great man. He makes my breakfast for me. Most of the time packs my lunch for me. He's an awesome fella. He made me French toast for breakfast. But I realized when I part the way down the road to town that I put my plate in the sink. I got my hair ready. I grabbed my stuff and went out the door. And I realized halfway to town, I didn't tell him. Thank you, because this morning you made the breakfast that I asked for, not just any breakfast. You went to the special effort of making me French toast. So I call him back on the phone. He said, what's wrong? I said, nothing's wrong, but I forgot to tell you thank you for the French toast you made me for breakfast this morning. He said to me later, why did you call me and tell me that? I said, because you took the special time to make it for me. I could take the special time to tell you how much I appreciated you doing that for me. I mean, no, we need to show honor. That may be a little thing to you, but halfway down the road, I thought, you know what? I need to show him honor for that because that was a special thing that was done for me. It's not the big things, guys. It's not the big things, girls, that make a difference. It's that little I love you written on the frost of your windshield maybe in the morning. And it may not even be just to your spouse. It may be to a parent. It may be to a friend. It may be to somebody that says, you know what? I am thankful that you are a part of my life. The dandelion that you pick instead of the rose. Amen? You know, the kids at school, they pick all the dandelions. There'll never be dandelions on the playground at school because kids pick them all. I'm a firm believer God created dandelions just for children. It's the only flower they're allowed to pick and get away with it. And they bring them to you. But how many know everybody always wants a rose? Roses have thorns. They're delicate. They don't last but a dandelion. Let me tell you what. They got tenacity. Yeah. They got strength. They got power in the seed of a dandelion. You get one dandelion, you're going to have a lot of dandelions. You get one rose, you may be lucky to get another rose next year. But how many know sometimes it's the little things that shows honor. It's not just about trying to make up or you know, whatever. It's about just showing honor to that person and saying, I honor you today as my spouse. Hallelujah. Or whoever that person, it may be a parent, it may be a coworker, it may be a boss. You know, I've thought many times over the years, different bosses I worked for, you know what, I really should send an email and say thank you for being the leader that you were, because I've served under all kinds of leaders. But I'll tell you what, most of the time I would rather serve under somebody who goes by the book and who's fair to everybody than one who's just swayed with the wind. And come day, go day, you don't know where you stand. How many know sometimes serving under somebody who's honorable in leadership is, even if it may be harder, is still a much better way to go most of the time. Yes. Amen. And if you are in a position of leadership or as a boss or something like that, remember that. Because as you honor the people under you, they'll honor you back. Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. So I want to go to a scripture this morning. I got several things in mind, but I'm going to skip ahead. I'm going to go to Esther today, Carlin. The Lord kind of just dropped this in my heart. In Esther chapter 6, it's about the man named Mordecai. Mordecai, however you want to say his name. We know he's the uncle of Esther. And this scripture actually was one that Bishop Huskins ministered at my dad's funeral, and I've never forgot this. And I just want to talk about the couple things in this scripture this morning about honor. In Esther 6, 1 through 11. Talks about Mordecai. How many know the Jews were being oppressed in this time. Amen. And Mordecai goes to Esther and tells him, you know, that don't think you're going to escape any kind of judgment that's going to come down through for the Jewish people just because you are in the kingdom or just because you're in the king's house. He said, don't you know that you've been put in the kingdom for such a time as this? How many believe that you have the power to change nations? Yeah. How many believe that you have the power to change nations? Yeah. How many know Esther did not go into this thinking, I'm going to change the nation? But because she was in a place strategically placed by God, God used her in position to do some mighty things. How many know God used Mordecai? Mordecai was her uncle. How many know Esther honored Mordecai? She gave him honor. She respected his voice. She respected him speaking into her life. Amen. How many know she gave him place to speak into her life? And, you know, sometimes all of us at times need to have those people that we honor that say, you have the right to speak into my life. Now, not everybody would I give that place to. Not everybody would I give that right to, because I don't really want to know your opinion. I just want to know what the Word says. I want to know what God is saying. If you feel like God has something to say, that's what I want to know. Amen? We don't want just anybody speaking opinion, but Mordecai had the right to speak into the life of Esther. She respected him. She honored him. She trusted him. But in Esther chapter 6, it says, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him, or there is nothing that has been done for him. How many know Mordecai had stood in a place where he had saved the king's life? He had interceded on behalf of the king, and he had saved the king's life, and he had exposed some plans and some systems that were about to happen, and it was written in the chronicles that the king had. Amen? And so one night when he couldn't sleep, he said, what has been done for the man who honors the king? And his servant came to him and says, nothing that I know of has been done for the man who honors the king. Hallelujah. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me this morning, and he said, if you think that the king has slept in the night, you've been mistaken, because the king has not been asleep to the service that you've given to him. And if you've given some time and honored the king, I want you to know that it's written in the chronicles of the king, and those things do not go unnoticed this morning. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes we feel like we give and we give and we give to God and say, God, I don't know where else to move or what else to give. I need you to move in my life. And sometimes it would seem like the king's asleep, but I want you to know today the king's not asleep. He's not slumbering on your behalf. If you've been faithful to him, if you have honored the king, he will come through for you. Those things that you do to God and do for God and serve and your giving and in honoring of the king, how many know those things do not go void? They do not return unto you void. The scripture says, cast your bread upon the waters and it will return to you after many days, and it'll come back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will I bring it back to your account. Hallelujah. Those things that you do for the king don't go unnoticed. It may seem like they lay dormant for a little while. It may seem like nobody remembers. It may seem like it never happened. Hallelujah. But the king remembers. Hallelujah. The king remembers. I remember my grandmother sewing into this work. And Dan and I would go pick her up. We would be dating, and we would go pick her up for church. And when we would get ready to drop her off, she would put a dollar bill in our hand. Now, my grandmother didn't have any money. She would put a dollar bill in our hand, and she'd say, go get you some ice cream with this. I said, Grandma, I don't need your money. No, you don't need to give us anything for bring. But she was a woman who wanted to pay her way the best she could. She did not want to take advantage of anybody. She did not want you to just bless her without you blessing her blessing you back. And she would say to us, take that dollar and go get you some ice cream. So we would save up her couple dollars that she would give to us, and we would go get her a quart of Dairy Queen ice cream and take it back to her and give that back to her. But how many know she knew the value of sewing something into a work? And you know, when I stand here today and look back across this house, those $1 bills sewed into this kingdom, that heart of giving sowed into this. I think about men and women like Brother Eccles and those who have been faithful to sow into this work that did not have a lot. Sister Nellie and some of them that gave got some money and came and said, I got a little money and I want to give it to the house of God. I want to sow back into the kingdom. Hallelujah. How many know your acts, your giving, your faithfulness, your honoring the king does not go void. It does not lay dormant. God is awake to what you need. Hallelujah. It said on a night that the king couldn't sleep. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the king's not asleep tonight. Hallelujah. And all that we do for him, we don't do it out of a heart that like, man, I'll do this so God will bless me. We do this because I want to bless God. And I know that the goodness of God will overtake you. I know the blessings of God that will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So if you're sitting in a place that says, Lord, it seems like it's not coming back. It's not coming back. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. Just keep doing what God, just be honorable in what you honor God, honor the king, honor him in all of the ways of your heart, hallelujah, and he will bring it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, hallelujah. His desire is to honor those who honor him. What shall be done for the man who honors the king? Hallelujah. When honor comes for the king, you know that you've been honored. Amen? Yes. You can get honor from man, and it's temporary, and it's passing. Yes. But when you've been honored from the king, you've been honored. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes those things that you do for others that are forgotten are the very things that will bring your day of honor. The very things that you do that you think have been forgotten, because sometimes the things that are forgotten are most honorable. It's the things that you do that no one knows about that sometimes brings the greatest honor. Hallelujah. I mean, every opportunity that we have to sow into somebody, love, giving, whatever it is, sometimes it's the little things that'll come back to you and say, I remember the day. I mean, I was very touched by Roger when he stood up in the house here at conference and begin to share back his memories of camp and how this house had touched his life, how it changed his life. If you were here at camp, he gave the same testimony, talked about his best friend who's a Methodist pastor and one very large charge that God touched his heart, saved him, filled him with the Holy Ghost here at camp, and how he's going out to do the work of God and what a ministry that he has, and how Roger took the time at conference even to call forth not just the great vocal or the great men of God who spoke into his life prophetically, but the person who took him to lay some rock on a wall, the person who took him to show him how to shoot a gun. You know, those are little things that we think they don't mean anything to anybody. Let me tell you what, anytime you can invest in the life of a child or a young person, you have no idea where that may come back to. One of these days, that may be the very person that comes back to you and says, I remember the day. Yes. Hallelujah. I remember the day that you sowed into my life, and I am what I am today because you took the time to speak to me, or took the time to do something for you. Took the time to just notice me. Hallelujah. You took the time to notice me. I don't know, Butch probably doesn't remember this, but one year when he was in my youth group, just a few days ago, when I was youth leader and he was a kid in my youth group, we went to King's Dominion, and he won a stuffed animal at King's Dominion, and he gave me that stuffed animal. It was a white unicorn with a pink horn. He probably doesn't remember that. He probably doesn't remember that. But that was special to me, and I still remember that as a kid. He could have took that home to give it to his girlfriend, or he could have gave it to anybody else, but he gave it to me. I was touched by that. I haven't forgotten that. You know, sometimes we think things are forgotten. We think our actions don't matter. We think nobody cares. We think, you know, it's insignificant. Nothing that you do out of the name of love or out of the name of the Father is insignificant to somebody else. Hallelujah. You may not know or even think that it means anything to them at the time. And it may not mean anything to them at the time. But down the road, you may reflect back on the time you let them sleep on your couch. Or you took them under your wing. Or you fed them dinner with the rest of your family because they showed up at your front door. Or, you know, you washed their face and found them something to change into and took them with you because nobody else ever takes them. Or you brought them to church because nobody else bothered to even invite them. Those things matter to people. How many know those things are honorable? Mordecai thought all of the actions that he did, Jim, had just been dismissed, that nobody remembered anymore. Nobody even thought about the things that he had done for the king. But one day when the king couldn't sleep, he said, what should be done for the man who honors the king? Let me tell you, the king will not be indebted to any man. The king will not be indebted to anyone. God will not be indebted to you. Hallelujah. His promises are yes and amen. And he's more ready to honor you than you are to receive honor from him. Hallelujah. And so it says in verse 4, and the king said, who's in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Mm-hmm. And the king's servants said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king himself delight to honor more than myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, I say, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste, take the apparel and the horse, and as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Hallelujah. How many know what's mocking you today may be escorting you and bowing to you tomorrow? I mean, you know, sometimes the things that we face that we think are mocking us or we think is our greatest enemy, God has the ability to turn those things around and bring glory and honor out of that and bring you to a place of acknowledgement in Him. How many know His desire is always to clothe you? He said, let the king's royal apparel be put on. I mean, no, you've been dressed in the king's royal apparel today. You've been clothed with a robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. He said, bring the king's horse, the transportation. Put him on the king's horse. Hallelujah. And put the crown on his head. Hallelujah. I mean, no, you've been crowned with many crowns. You've been crowned with the righteousness of God. You have been honored in the king's house. It is the king's delight to honor you. What shall be done for the man who delighteth to honor the king? Hallelujah. How many know there is honor that comes in honoring the king? Hallelujah. As we begin to show honor to him, and as we begin to, our life is one that is in submission. How many know Mordecai wasn't necessarily even on the side of the king? And the king and Haman come to bring opposition against Mordecai. How many know the very thing sometimes that seems to be your opposition is God's vehicle to do something great for you? Somebody said the other day, heroes aren't formed, they're cornered. Heroes aren't designed, they're cornered. How many know sometimes you got some hero in you when you get backed up in the corner and you say, I'm not going down that easy. I mean, I preached that sermon last Sunday. He said, I'm not going down, I'm going over. I'm not going down, I'm going over. I'm driving my car to work this week saying, I'm not going down, I'm going over. I'm not going down, I'm going over. How many know sometimes you got to declare back to yourself what you think God might be speaking to somebody else? You might find out He's speaking it to you. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. And I say, all right, Lord, I'm not going down, I'm going over. Hallelujah. But God has the uncanny way of taking those things that seem like opposition to you and bringing it to your glory and to your honor. Hallelujah. Opening avenues, opening doors in ways that you never saw coming. Hallelujah. How many know Saul was anointed king over Israel? And the scripture really doesn't tell us he even asked for the part. You know, sometimes I think poor Saul, he got a bad rap. But they brought Saul in because the people cried for a king. He was a people-appointed king. How many know you always have to be weary of a people-appointed king? Leery. Hallelujah. How many know David was God-anointed? But both men had flaws. Hallelujah. But the scripture says, go ahead to 1 Samuel 22. Carlin, I'll try to read through this quickly. 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 22. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. How many know David had some dishonorable things in his life? Hallelujah. Amen. But he learned to be a man of honor. And I believe a lot of that came from the prophet Samuel. That he had a good example. Hallelujah. But it says, and it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. How many know Saul is the enemy of David? He's pursuing him. He's after him. David is fleeing from the hand of Saul, fleeing for his life. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David. 3,000 men went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. That meant he went in to take a journey or take a bathroom trip. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. How many know every voice around David, it says, this is your day. God is going to give you vengeance. God is going to get even with Saul for you. This is the day Saul goes down. Yeah, this is the day we've been waiting for. And David gets up and goes in and cuts off the skirt of Saul. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. How many know the scripture says that at this time Saul is still the set man and the anointed of the Lord in that position? And while everybody else's voice says, yeah, you have a right to do this. This is the way of God. This is what you should do. Man, God's give you the victory today. David knew differently. He said, God forbid that I will put my hand against God's anointed. If Saul goes down, he'll go down through the hand of God. But I will not dishonor myself by dishonoring Saul. I will remain honorable. Rather, everybody else around me is dishonorable. I will remain honorable in how I respond to what happens. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up and went out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My lord the king! And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Why are you listening to everybody else, Saul? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand. I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. How many know David holds it up and said, I had opportunity to take your life today, but he said, it's not in my heart to do it. I want you to know that I'm not pursuing you. I'm not out to destroy you, Saul. I had opportunity, but I won't put my hand against the Lord's anointed. How many know sometimes we don't have to do it with weapons and guns and knives and things like that, but how many know sometimes the words of our mouth and our actions towards people are more detriment to them than it is if we had physically injured them? When you speak against their influence, or you destroy a man's influence or a woman's influence in the earth, how many know you can bring them down? And that's not our place to do that. Hallelujah. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. You can stop there. How many know David had opportunity to dishonor Saul, but he did not? Because to dishonor Saul would be to dishonor himself. How many know there's another time where Saul's asleep with his men? And David takes the spear and puts it beside the head of Saul. And when they wake up, they realize, I was right here, this close, and had opportunity to take your life. But yet, because I'm a man of honor, I did not do so. Hallelujah. How many know honor is important? Honor speaks volumes about a person. Honor is the platform for greatness. How many know when the... the prophet wanted to come to the Shunammite woman, and he wanted to honor her because she had always opened her door to him, and she'd always given him space, and anytime he would pass through, she would feed him, and she'd prepared a room for him, and she prepared a bed, and all of those things. She had ministered to the man of God many times, and the man of God said, "What shall we do for this woman that has honored us? Let's honor her back for her giving to us." And I love what she says when they come to her, and he said, "Well, she doesn't have a child," and he comes back to the woman and says, "What shall we do to honor you? And shall we speak to you before the kings? Shall we tell the king what a great person you are?" And her response to them was, I dwell among my own people." I mean, no, she wasn't looking for position. She wasn't looking for fame or for fortune. The intentions of her heart was not, "Man, if I can get to this prophet, he can get me places. He can take me places. He can connect me to important people. He can hook me up with the greatest of people. Man, we can rub elbows with great people. Maybe he could get me to a great platform, or maybe big preachers would notice me, or maybe I could get fame and fortune." But her reply back to them was, "I'm content to dwell among my own people." Hallelujah. How many know honor is not always seeking position? Honor is being willing to say, "I'll honor the man of God." And through honoring that, if there's any honor, then it'll come from God and not from people. How many know our elevation, promotion, honor does not come from people? It comes from God. Hallelujah. And I believe we are challenged to be a people of honor. I believe we need to honor God in all of our ways, in every area of our life. I believe we need to honor people. I believe we need to honor leadership. I believe we need to honor marriage and our spouses. But I believe we need to honor the King. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, "What shall be done for the man who honors the King?" Hallelujah. Because I believe in God's provision in our life. I believe that we serve an honorable God. And I believe as he is honored, it is his delight. How many know it was the king's delight to honor Mordecai? Yep, yep. It was the king's delight to honor him. Mordecai wasn't even looking for honor. He wasn't looking for fame. He wasn't looking for, and honestly, probably when they came and said, "You got the horse, you get the robe, you get the crown," Mordecai was probably thinking, "Really, there's things that would work better for me than being paraded up and down Main Street on a horse. That don't do nothing for me. That doesn't save my people. That doesn't get us out of the despair that we're in." But how many know it did get him notoriety? So that when Esther goes before the king, how many know there was already a connection made? There was already provision made. You just said, "You know what? This man's got my back. This man is an honorable man. This people is an honorable people. And this nation was saved because somebody lived honorably." Amen? Because somebody lived honorably. My challenge to you this morning is, regardless of what you see going on around you, don't fall into the trap of dishonor. Live honorably. Live honorably in your home. Live honorably in your community. Live honorably before God, because it does come back to you. And God will honor you for your works, your actions, your thoughts, and your deeds. Amen? Hallelujah. We are a people of honor. And we are a people who needs to establish and show honor on those. I believe an honor is a very important thing. In closing, I'll tell this story, and I don't think he'll mind me telling it, but we were in Georgia one time at a conference with Bishop Huskins, and we were in this restaurant. If you ever go into his conference, you'll know the name of that restaurant. It's an awesome restaurant. Anyway, we were in there, and there was a group of folks that had come to his conference, and they were loud over in the corner, and they weren't doing anything out of, you know, they weren't being, you know, disruptive on purpose. They were just laughing, having a good time, but because some of them had some tattoos, and some of them looked like some rough characters and things like that, and this man in the restaurant just got very angry, just stood up and just shouted at the restaurant, and the whole restaurant just, like, just stopped. His family was just mortified that was with him. All of us in there were just like, "Oh my goodness," you know. And so it kind of calms down. Everybody eats their dinner, and we all go on our way. And later we're like, "Man, that was really kind of crazy stuff going on." And one of the people from their church told me, Bishop didn't tell me, but he said, "You know, after everybody left, Bishop went back over to that man and said, 'I apologize if we disrupted your lunch and thing today.' He said, 'I want to buy your dinner today.'" and I want to take care of your meal. How many know you could have went over and railed on that man, and you could have had a knockdown drag out, but how many know he just said, I want to pay for your lunch today, and bought the lunch for that man? How many know somebody's got to have honor? Somebody's got to do the honorable thing, even when it looks like you have a right to take Saul's life. Sometimes you'll find out by standing up and say, I had opportunity to respond in anger, or I had to dishonor myself, but I chose to be honorable instead. And if God brings them down, then they'll be brought down, but they will not be brought down by my hand. Yep. Hallelujah. How many know there's something to be said today for honor? Hallelujah. What shall be done for the man that honors the king? Your king is not asleep today. He's not asleep. The Chronicles have been read. Hallelujah. And our name is ever before him. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning as the kids are coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.